Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Okay, we have a busy morning. I do want to complete Daniel chapter 7. We don't have the 1 o'clock class, so I'm good till 4 or 5. No, don't get nervous. Don't leave. Don't leave. We've got to do that. So, let's begin with a word of prayer. And I got a really cool email this week. It said, "This I don't know who he's talking. This young guy was talking. He says, you know, I've just got to where I don't like listening to anybody preach. I don't like any preacher. Do you think that means that I have the calling of being a preacher?" And probably right. So, all right, let's begin. Well, I thought it was funny. All right, let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the wonderful opportunity we have to assemble ourselves with others who are sanctified by the Holy Spirit, beloved by you, have a purpose in your plan for all mankind, have a destiny in Christ, just all these wonderful things about everyone that's here that's in Christ. So, Father, we pray that this will be a morning of worship, praiseworthy of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Brian, let's begin with song.
I serve the risen Savior.
I've been in the ministry 39 years now, working on the 40th. Some people just never change. I'm talking about physical appearance. Birthdays come and go, and Jeff Langston has not changed. He's just not changed. He's the same kid 20 years ago. But happy birthday. All right. I'm not going to ask how old you are. That'll embarrass a lot of us. How old are you?
I was born in 60. I'll let everybody do the math.
More than 60. All right, Jeff. Hanging in there. That's good. Okay, let's talk about, other than praying that we could all look that good at 60, let's go.
I was born in 1960.
Oh, 40, 50, 53. Oh, I got it. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's talk about prayer. Tish Roshin. Her surgery went very well, and she's getting better and better each passing day. And she's had different people staying with her. Leslie stayed with her first week, and then a friend came in that she's known. They were little girls in California. And now Leslie's back there, and then Terry will be there today.
No, I'm going.
You're going. Okay.
Only let me there one day.
Is that all that you can take, or is that all she can take? All right. And so just continue being in prayer for Tish. And she's able to do more mobility each few days. Sleep's getting better. So she'll be running the races pretty soon. Okay. Thomas, how's it going? Good. Any change?
No.
So we've made up our mind that it will be Houston. Yeah, okay. So now we're just waiting for God to call somebody home. All right. Either home or away, whatever the case may be. All right, that'll be good. Well, we'll continue to be in prayer for Thomas. Have you started school yet?
Tomorrow.
Please be in prayer for his knees, mobility. It's tomorrow at school. Kind of an immediate prayer. And doesn't just wear himself out. So please be in prayer for Thomas, especially tomorrow, and his knees. And let's see, who else do we need to be in prayer for? Thank you for being in prayer last week for the birth of my grandson. The birth turned out fine, and he's just doing really good. I went to see him and held his little bitty thing in my arms. What did I say?
That's what I'm having. Yours is great.
You know, some people get back at you whenever they can. Whenever they can. All right, that's right. It's my great-grandson. Little bitty guy. And I was holding him. And I sang Hank Williams to him. And I quoted scripture to him. He didn't cry on either one of them. He just... I sang Hank Williams, and then I quoted scripture. Okay. And so he's doing really fine. So just be in prayer. The first few weeks, I guess, are important to both mother and baby. And so please be in prayer. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of that we need to be? Please be in prayer for Jim Langston. He's doing some traveling. So please be in prayer for him. Be in prayer for the Daves as they travel back today. Travel back today from visiting Cameron down in Bryan College Station. So please be in prayer. Yes, sir. Good grief.
For complications of diabetes, but she passed away last night.
Oh.
For Lozano family.
We'll be in prayer for the what family?
Lozano.
Lozano. Let us be in prayer for the Zano family and things are going through. Thank you for sharing that with us, Rick. Any other prayer requests that we need to be made aware of? Be in prayer, I guess, for all of the young people starting to school or having just started, getting ready to start. When does Plano start?
Good.
Good. Mackenzie, don't let them sell you elevator tickets. That was the big deal when we went from our... I guess you stay in the same school, though. No, change schools? Good. We did, too. 9th to 10th, we changed schools. And the first day, they all wanted to sell you elevator tickets. And but I'd already been forewarned, so I knew there wasn't... I knew there wasn't no elevator in there. And... Oh, you have elevators in your high school? Oh, give me a break. Boy, no wonder they're all out of shape. You got to walk up and down. And don't tell me you have escalators. Good, all right. Thank you. That's good. All right, any other prayer requests? All right, let's be in prayer for our young people. People just can't imagine the challenge of school. Morally, ethically. Just in so many ways, racially, they're just the onslaught of attacks in so many areas, their soul, their minds, their bodies. So please be in prayer for our young people, and that can be a daily prayer for you in your prayer time. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. These things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. It's humble, meet in a little office building. Oh, what a wonderful opportunity to worship you, to learn about your Son, to learn to be a witness for him, to love as he loved, as Peter says, to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the opportunities you give this assembly to spread the gospel to both unbelievers and believers. Our youth program, missionaries, the internet. So many ways that you give us, Father, to get the message out. And we pray, Father, that you'll use this money for the purpose of the invisible warfare, the spiritual warfare that we're in every day. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have long or at its brink your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. The Spirit of our Holy God will guide us every day, wherever He may lead. His love will show the way. His Spirit and His grace and love will see us through each strife, and here on earth prepare us for our eternal life. Go ahead and stand. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. One more time. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
James, thank you very much. That was beautiful. Before we begin, does everyone have the book of Daniel? It says Daniel 7, 9 through 28. Anyone not have it? Anyone not have Daniel 7, 9 through 28? Okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, test yourself. See if you're in the Spirit. We studied this morning in the 9:15 class about how we sanctify ourselves. Sanctify yourself if necessary. That means get back in faith in the Holy Spirit so that you can adventure on a holy endeavor, and that is the learning of the Word of God. So let's prepare ourselves by prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this book. There is so much going on in the world today. It looks like total chaos. Hardly anyone can get along with anyone. Neighboring nations can't even get along. Nations can't get along inside themselves. It's just so much chaos, so much confusion. And yet, Heavenly Father, as we read the book of Daniel and study it, combine it with the book of Revelation, there's peace. There's joy. There's an excitement. Because when you see pieces of the puzzle coming together for Jesus Christ to come back to earth, set up his kingdom. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you would have us to see in this great chapter. Father, we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, not going to go through the 6-7 chapters of Daniel, but let's look at Daniel 7. There are four things you want to remember about chapter 7. Four major things. One, the four beasts. Two, the little horn. Verse 8. The little horn is the Antichrist, Satan, dictator of the revived Roman Empire. So many different titles that we know him by. Three, the Ancient of Days. This is God. Verse 9. Verse 8, the little horn. Dictator of the revived Roman Empire. He comes on the scene, and right behind him to make the judgment is the Ancient of Days, God. And then the fourth is the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. So you have four major players in Daniel chapter 7 that you don't usually get in a lot of the chapters. We got all four. You have the four beasts, that's the nations, the little horn, the Ancient of Days, the Son of Man. You have the Antichrist. Yes.
The Antichrist
is
not Satan, right?
The what?
The Antichrist is not Satan, right? There's two separate people.
The Antichrist is Satan, and he's representing Satan on earth. You're right in the sense that it is not the same. He is the representative of Satan. So in that sense, you're absolutely correct. Little horn is a man. Just as when we talk about the first kingdom, Babylon, and we talk about the head of gold in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the lion in the beast. He's talking about Nebuchadnezzar. Doesn't say Nebuchadnezzar, but he's talking about Nebuchadnezzar. Then he talks about, and then after that, talks about the bear, lopsided bear. Okay? And that would be the chest of silver in Nebuchadnezzar's statue. It's the bear. It's the Medo-Persian Empire. Primarily Cyrus. Then you got the leopard. The leopard, that's Greece. Alexander the Great. Then you've got Rome. And the ten horns and the little horn, that is the dictator of the revived Roman Empire. We don't know his name. We will not know his name until the earth will not know his name till after the rapture of the church. Before he will be here. Just for an example, let's say that you get up, you go to the trouble, get up in the morning, you get ready to go to work, you get in the car, and then the rapture occurs. If I'd have known that, I'd have stayed in bed. Okay, so here, the rapture occurs. The Antichrist, the dictator of the revived Roman Empire, is alive today somewhere, probably in Europe, somewhere in the world. He is alive today. But he will not be identified as that until after the church is removed. And then all hell breaks loose once the church is removed. Because the restrainer is removed. Who is the restrainer? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is removed. And then the world goes into real chaos. And somebody's going to have to come and put some order, some administration back into it. That will be the dictator of the revived Roman Empire. That will be the little horn. And when he does that, out of the ten nations that have been formed in Europe, three of them will rebel against him. They don't want to submit to his rulership. They will be taken down. Now, they're going to come back up, but they're going to be taken down so that he can rule. So that is the little horn. So in that sense, it's correct. He is a person. He is the dictator of the revived Roman Empire. Then we come to the Ancient of Days. That is God. And then you come to the Son of Man. That is Jesus Christ. So those are the four players that you want to remember in Daniel chapter 7. So let's get to work in closing out our study of chapter 7. And I've already made up my mind. Chapter 8 is about Antiochus Epiphanes and that whole era in Jewish history. I've decided I'm not going to spend a great deal of time there. We'll talk about who they are, about the rebellion, about the lights, when the Festival of Lights, which some people think this is where Christmas lights come from, and all that happened there, polluting the temple, all those things. But we can cover that relatively quickly, and then move on to Daniel's 70th week. Yes, sir. The what? He, if the rapture is to occur, he is alive before the rapture. If the rapture is going to occur tomorrow morning at 7:45, he's alive today. But if it doesn't, he's not alive. Well, depends on when it's going to be. Okay. Yeah, no. That's a big if. If. If, and maybe it's true, maybe it isn't. Let's have a discussion on if. All right. Okay. Let's get to work. Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. I kept looking, Daniel, I kept looking until thrones were set up. And the Ancient of Days took his seat. His vesture was like white snow, and his hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames. Its wheels were a burning fire. What in the world is going on? What in the world? I almost wanted to spend time with you all the weird translations or interpretations of this verse. Okay. This is important. What we have seen many times in our study is that the Bible is written in the view of a courtroom. The history of man is viewed as a court decision. The fall of man, the judicial judgment from God upon man. We study the judicial problem of all mankind, as seen in the 10 questions of Job. Can mankind be just before God? Can man be morally, spiritually pure before his Maker? Does God pervert justice? Does the Almighty pervert what is right? How can man be right before God, judicially right? Who can make the morally, spiritually clean out of the unclean? No one. What is man that he should be pure? Or he who is born of a woman that he should be righteous? How then can a man be just with God? How can man be clean who is born of woman? Okay, these are all judicial questions. And there's a movement today, as really never before in my lifetime, totally opposed to heaven and hell, God is a judge, the wrath of God. Everyone's going to heaven, everything's going to be wonderful, and on and on and on. People, don't believe the lie. Stay with the Bible. The Bible deals with this judicial scene all the way through. From Adam and Eve and Satan in Genesis 3, where he pronounces the curse dealing with the fall, to you, Satan, because you deceived the woman, to you, woman, because you were deceived, and to you, man, because you listened to your wife. And then all the judgments that go with it, all the way up until the end of time at the great white throne judgment. Judgment. It's here. We have been studying these four empires, representing nations all through church age history. So now we're going to come to the judicial scene of all of this. So when you read this, let's read it again, and I want you to see what's happening. I kept looking until thrones were set up. Vision a courtroom. Thrones are set up. This will be the jury. This will be people on the throne. We'll come to that in a moment. And the Ancient of Days took his seat. There's the judge. His vesture was like white snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. Why is he called Ancient of Days? Why is his vesture white snow? His hair is like pure wool. Why is that the case? His throne was ablaze with flames. Its wheels burning fire. What is all of this dealing with? Okay, people, what we're looking at is the courtroom scene. Bottom of page 2. So we now have a judgment made against these Gentile nations. Not just Rome, but all nations on the earth. The scene of verse 9 is a courtroom. Let's begin with the Ancient of Days taking his seat. The Ancient of Days is the judge who walks, as it were, into this courtroom and sits down. Now, before the judge comes in, everyone is in his place before the judge comes in, and so we have the phrase, until the thrones were set up. This is a reference to, as it were, the jury, whom we will not know to be told about, but we will find him revealed in the book of Revelation. Now, who's the Ancient of Days? This is a reference to God. Why is God referred to as Ancient of Days? Okay, people, think about what we're studying. We're studying the history of man. We're studying the age of the Gentiles. The title comes from the perspective of the fullness of time of the Gentiles. From the Babylonian Empire to the revived Roman Empire in the tribulation. And for all this time, God has been present. God has been in control. Being the ancient refers to the ideal of old age, conveys the ideal of wisdom and authority. It proclaims the eternality of God. Ancient of Days, wisdom, power, eternality of God. It uses a title of God as judge, authorized to be judge. Next, we have something new in Daniel's dream. The Ancient of Days has the form of does not have the form of man, but not of animal. Does not have the form of an animal. In the mythologies of the gods of the ancient nations, the gods were always animal or part animal. Never in Scripture is God pictured as an animal. Never in Scripture. The Ancient of Days took his seat. God is in complete control of all history, and the evils of man will not go by without divine intervention, without God's divine judgment. His vesture was like white snow, and his hair of his head like pure wool. After I finish the book of Daniel, my white hair will be gone. I'm going to go back to the brown. No, I'm not. I just left this so I give you a visual. Okay. His throne was ablaze with flames. Its wheels were a burning fire. According to Psalm 104, verse 4, Hebrews chapter 1, 7, this refers to angels. The invisible warfare directly involves angels. You can't help study the book of Revelation or Daniel without being just overwhelmed with the place of angels. They're part in everything. Now, we have interpreting angels here in Daniel. We have a lot of different plays of angels. This is a reference to angels. Okay, we come to verse 10. A river of fire was flowing. This is the coming judgment. Fire is always a picture, not always, most of the time a picture of judgment. And coming out from before him, thousands upon thousands were attending him. And myriads were standing before him. Again, this is a reference to angels. Revelation 5:11. The court sat, and the books were opened. Okay, this lets us know we are at the right track about seeing this is a courtroom. This lets us know. How do we know this is a courtroom? Well, not only by the reading and understanding, but this lets us know now. We're in a courtroom. Books were opened. Okay? So the books were all opened. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. Now the reason that I gave you this passage, don't want you to confuse this with Matthew, with Revelation 20. This is not Revelation 20. This is the final judgment seat going on. Now, remember, in the Lord's Prayer, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he could have called thousands upon thousands of angels to help him, but he bore it alone. But now, when the Ancient of Days takes his place to make this final judgment, angels are there. Angels are there to serve and to praise. Verse 11, then I kept looking, because the sound of the boastful words. Now the Hebrew doesn't say boastful. It says great. What this is great blasphemy. Verified in Revelation. This is great blasphemies. Which the horn was speaking. This is a reference to the little horn that rose above the ten horns. I kept looking until the beast was slain. So we got horn and beast, same person. Until the beast was slain, and its body was destroyed and given to the burning fire. Verse 12. And the rest of the beast, their dominion was taken away. But an extension of life was granted to them for an appointed period of time. What in the world is this referring to? And you've got a lot of different ideas presented in commentaries. So in verse 11, the horn, the beast, slain, destroyed. Verse 12, the rest of the beast, their dominion was taken away, but an extension of life was granted to them for an appointed period of time. Okay. The little horn is now identified as the beast of Revelation 13. The burning fire, end of verse 9, the divine judgment against the beast. Now, I'm going to put all this together, but let me build it for you. Revelation 19:20. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet, who performed signs. False prophet, this is the false prophet of Israel. False prophet of Israel, Revelation 13. I'm sorry? No. Well, okay, let me correct it. Little discussion. Christians love to use the word Antichrist. It evokes a lot. It evokes a lot in us. It evokes Antichrist, viciousness, all these things. The word, the designation, Antichrist, is used only in 1 John. It is not used in Daniel. It is not used in Revelation. There are people who say the dictator of the revived Roman Empire is the Antichrist. There are people who say the false prophet is the Antichrist. So, the Antichrist is whoever is against Christ. I have a book. I just had to buy it. It's not a good book. Not recommending it. But it talks about how Christians are paranoid about the Antichrist. They see him everywhere. They see him under their bed. And like people used to see communists. That's the way Christians see the Antichrist. And he's not trying to be funny. He's trying to be very serious. And in that sense, I agree with him. It just reached a point where, my goodness. So, but I will use that phrase sometime also. But if we put the definite article, the Antichrist, and if we can agree, the Antichrist is a designation of the dictator of the revived Roman Empire. The Antichrist is the little horn. The Antichrist is the beast from the sea in Revelation 13. Then I'm okay with that. But if you want to just say the Antichrist, everybody that's against Christ, there's a lot of Antichrist today. That's what John is saying when he says it in 1 John. You have the Antichrist today. They're all over the place. All the Muslims are Antichrist. So, In that sense, yes and no. So if we say that the Antichrist, we designate it for our purposes as the dictator of the Five Roman Empire, the little horn, the beast of Revelation 13, then that'll be the Antichrist. If we want to just say the Antichrist, then yes, it could be both the prophet and the dictator. Yes. Anyone's Antichrist.
But is there not in Revelation, you know, a one person that would take?
Dictator of the Revived Roman Empire. But Revived Roman Empire. We can call him that. We can call him the little horn. We can call him the beast of Revelation 13. Look at Revelation 13. We may be here to 3 or 4. Look at Revelation 13. No, we won't. Don't get nervous. Yes, yes, yes. Yep, that's what I'm going to show you. Look at Revelation 13. This is fun. Revelation 13. Now, the thing about... show you how this can get distracted. Revelation 12, we have the two key players. We have the birth of Jesus Christ, and we have the seven-headed dragon standing there ready to devour the child. Verse 3 of chapter 12. Verse 3 of chapter 12. And another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having seven heads. That's where I get the expression, the seven-headed dragon. Right here. Seven-headed dragon. What's he about? And on the heads were seven diadems, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them down to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, that's the nation of Israel, who was about to give birth, incarnation of Jesus Christ, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. Okay, chapter 12 introduces the two main players, the devil, Satan, and Jesus Christ. Now we go to chapter 13. Chapter 13, and he stood on the sand of the seashore, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems. And on his heads were blasphemous names. Now, drop down to verse 11, chapter 13. And I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. Now, the first beast of chapter 13, that's going to be the dictator of the Revived Roman Empire. The second beast is the false prophet. That's why Revelation, like she asked me a wonderful question, isn't the beast separate from the false prophet? Yes and no. He's called a beast here. And the second beast came out of the land. By the way, the sea is where God cast all the demons after the first war, the invisible war, and that's the place that the demons come from. The land of verse 11 is Israel, out of the earth, out of the land, that's the nation of Israel. So you have the beast of the Revived Roman Empire, and then you have the false prophet coming up there. So nowhere do we have in Revelation the Antichrist. Don't have it. So, just that's why I've beckoned you many times. Be careful of the phrase, yes. Yes. Yep. That's why he's able to get them to all worship the beast, the little horn. He's able to do it because he's one of them. Yeah. So, we do. I do. Little horn. Dictator of the Roman Empire has a lot of names. Like Satan has many names. Satan has many names, and these players all have different names. Okay, let's go back to page 6. We're just moving right along here. Page 6. And we're reading Revelation 19:20. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet. So the beast, first beast, and then the false prophet. Beast is the dictator of the Roman Empire, who performed many signs, false prophet, in his presence, by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast, and those who worshipped his image. Now, just to throw in this, receive the mark of the beast. But if you don't receive the mark of the beast, you die. So how could there be believers left in the tribulation? Well, that was the fun of studying Daniel's three friends in the fiery furnace, remember? That this shows you, I can deliver you. I can deliver you through testings of fire. I can deliver you through the difficult times of the mark of the beast. You don't want the mark of the beast? Some will die, some will not die. And what is death? If I die, I'm home with the Lord, out of this rotten place, out of all of this horrible things going on. If I live, I go into the millennium. So, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other. But what I want to show you is that because someone doesn't get the mark of the beast, they do not necessarily die. I can deliver you through the storm, through the fiery trials of life. And that's a good sign of remembrance for us. No matter what happens, I can deliver you. I have that ability. I am God. Okay. Now, top of page 7, and those who worshipped his image, because he's going to have his image set up in Israel. Now, the debate here is the mark of the beast in Palestine, Israel, Judah, because this is where the image is set up. And there's a debate on that. And the reason I bring that up is because I got a phrase coming up in Daniel 7, the whole earth. And that's going to add another dimension to this whole drama. Okay, thrown into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. And people deny this. But it's the Word of God, all through the Bible. God is judge. Why is He judge? He's righteous. Is He love? You bet He's love. He sent His Son to you don't have to. That's love. True love does not set aside righteousness. True love doesn't do that. They talk about an adulterous affair. Well, I love you so much. If you love me so much, you would not violate that kind of righteousness as being one of us being married. See, that's the whole point we're looking at here. God is a righteous judge. He's a righteous God. He's love and He's righteousness. And you cannot set aside either one. But you cannot eliminate one because of the other. They work together. Okay, verse 21, at the top of page 7. And the rest were killed with the sword which came from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. All that we studied in Revelation, we'll look at it later. Now, it is while this beast is still in power, getting ready to destroy the people of God, Israel, that Daniel saw him being destroyed. One thing I do want to, I think I've got it in my notes, but one thing I want to remind you, Daniel knows nothing about the church. Daniel knows nothing about Christians. Daniel knows nothing about what you and I know about. This all his writing is from the viewpoint of Israel, not of the church. So you want to remember that when you study and read through. Okay, now, it will be a while the 10 nations of the 10 toes of Nebuchadnezzar were still standing, that the smiting stone of Daniel 2 comes crashing down in all of them, destroying all of them. As each of these nations rose to power through the time of the Gentiles, they thought themselves as great, as invincible. And yet we know the end is sure and it's coming. There are people who think America will always be here. America will always be great. What? I don't know what you're smoking. I don't know where you're living. People, you got to see. Nate, pick up the table of content and a world history book. rise and fall of nations. And every one of these nations, Germany thought they were going to make it. Hitler thought he was setting up a Reich that would last 1,000 years. Didn't even last a year. It's just amazing how we get this idea we're invincible. But we're not. We're not. Yet we know the end is sure and is coming. And it's so interesting to study the history, to study how so many of these nations start out with a respect of the Word of God, somewhat a respect of God, but slowly move away from it and living in opposition, which has happened in America today. We started out in full allegiance to the Word of God. The Senate started out, the Congress started out, their first session, people, and you won't read this in the media, the first session they spent 2 hours studying one of the Psalms. Congressmen spent 2 or 3 hours studying one of the Psalms. They studied the Bible at various congressional meetings. We started out with this under the salt had its savor. Christians didn't do certain things. Well, I can't do that. Why? Well, it's, you wouldn't say because I'm a Christian. That's not right. Where did they get that idea? Got it from the salt principle of Christians. Where did they get it? From the Bible. The Bible is not being taught and hasn't been taught for many decades in America. Therefore, the salt doesn't even know what it's supposed to be doing and not doing. So it's lost its savor. But there was a time when we had a great influence. But we've moved away from it. We fulfilled our purpose and have moved away from it. Verse 12. As for the rest of the beast, their dominion was taken away, but an extension of life was granted to them. This is Daniel 7:12. It granted to them for an appointed period of time. Okay, what is going on? This verse presents a problem. First, it appears to follow verse 11. Well, Herman, can't you see verse 12 follows verse 11? Don't you see that? I'm talking about chronologically. It does not follow chronologically verse 11, but actually precedes verse 11. So what James has fixed it up, you should have seen the way I handed it to him, but he's fixed it up so that you can see what's going on. First, you will note that in verse 11, the beast is destroyed and the destruction of the beast ends the battle of Armageddon. Two, in the structure of these verses, Daniel is going back to the three horns that were taken down by the little horn, taken care of in verse 11, taken down by the little horn, and is saying that their destruction was not like the destruction of the beast. That is, of the little horn, described in verse 11. So he describes this horrible destruction, and then he says, by the way, these three nations that were taken, they're not like the destruction of the little horn. I want to give you this first, and then I'm going to give you this. So does this help understand the chronology of verses 11 and 12? Anybody still confused? Okay, good. So verse 11, what happened to the little horn? And now he comes to verse 12, and in verse 12, what happens to the three nations is not like what happened to the little horn. And then the third principle, when the three horns of verse 10 were taken down by the little horn, verse 8, they were given by God as a supreme judge an extension of time, something less than 3 years. I suspect something less than 2 years. And I say less than 2 years because we've got to have some time. The ten horns and the little horn will rise with 3.5 years left in history. So he's going to try to come. So however long in history it will take these three nations, these ten, three little horns, to rise up against him and be put down. In a world of nuclear power, it could be done very quickly. But let's just say it takes 6 months to a year for these three battles to take place. They're taken down. Then they're going to be brought back up for a short period of time. Whatever time is left of the tribulation, and the reason it's cut short is God's going to cut short the tribulation. We say it's 7 years. It's really 6 years and months. He's got to cut it short. I'll show you why. Why does he have to cut it short? Because for the saints. If he doesn't cut it short, Israel will be destroyed. Jerusalem will be destroyed. Armageddon will fulfill its objective. So he's going to cut it short for the sake of the saints. But so this is why it'll be cut short and for a period of time under your third principle. The fourth principle, when the little horn was destroyed, it was all over. So he's saying, but it's not all over for these nations like it was for the little horn. Okay, verse 13. And by the way, yes? Believers. Jew and Gentile. They will be out, all out, primarily maybe up in Petra, up in Petra, taken out of the city and all. But they'll still be on earth. Well, the people in Israel at this time will be evacuating. Many people in Israel will be getting out. A lot of people think they're going to go to Petra. And if you've ever read about it or seen it, it makes good sense. I don't know that it is, but it sure makes good sense. It's an unbelievable place. No, this is going to be those that are at this time in Jerusalem getting out when all these things are happening. Matthew 24. The Jews what?
The Jews aware that this is all coming apart right now.
Those that understand the scripture. Those of you who understand what's going on. And bad, it's bad for you mothers with children and pregnant and all these things, but you got to get out. Get out of Jerusalem and get out now. And what's happening? All these nations are moving down toward Armageddon. And they're getting out of there.
And now they're running.
They're running. And the highway from Jerusalem, if it is Petra, somewhere in Jordan, I'm sure, it's opened up now and they'll be able to get there rather quickly.
Who's starting to make the stand in Jezreel Valley? Who's moving towards that area?
Well, what is?
We're
telling you the
hill of Armageddon.
Yeah. What armies?
Yeah.
Gog from the north, then from the east, which will be where the Oriental army will come in. Millions of people from China and Nora will be coming across the Euphrates this way. And then from the south, they'll be coming up. And so from all directions, not so much from the west, but from the north, east, and south, they're moving toward Jerusalem. It's there, but they're moving to abolish it. They're moving to destroy the nation, the people, the city, everything.
Has he set up himself prior to this position in Jerusalem, in the new temple?
Has the new temple been built? Not the temple of the millennium, but a temple will have been rebuilt. He will enter and set up his statue to be worshipped. And the false prophet will encourage all the people to worship him. Yes. Be before that. All of that, all this happens before. Okay? All right. Yeah, it'll be free. Okay. I can see... I'm going to have to take one of our Sundays and study pre-mill, a-mill, post-mill, all that, and then just kind of go through the 7 years of tribulation, putting that in proper order. And James, you and I will have to get it out and kind of hand it out to him in real long form and real short form.
None of this will happen before
quick. You mean you're not doing it right now? Okay, let's see here. Listen to this. Just a moment. Yeah, no, that's what I'm trying to show you. It's not contradicting. What I want to show you. Example. Their mother and their father married live 50 years, and died happily. Before that happened, next verse, before that happened, their parents had a divorce, one murdered the other, and it was pure hell. So I've showed you what is going to happen to the little horn, but I want to show you, what I want to tell you now is, these other three little horns, it's not going to be the same as it was with the little horn. I want to tell you something, how they differ. They're different than what happened to the little horn. Does that make sense? Because I want you to understand that. This is confusing to a lot of people. And I'm here just to try to make it as clear and as simple as I can. Mackenzie, do you understand it? Okay. And yes, if we can understand these things, then it'll flow. Okay? All right. Verse 13, bottom of page 8. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with clouds of heaven, one, the Son of Man, was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days, and was presented before him. Now please remember, what's going on here? Daniel is dreaming. It's like John in Revelation. He's seeing these things. How are you going to picture God? As, okay, well, he's got his, all that Daniel's been dealing with is days and years and nations, empires coming and going and all. And all of a sudden, there is this very old man, very old, sitting on this throne. And then there comes a Son of Man coming up to him in this courtroom scene. What's going on? This is what he is seeing. Please remember, this is a dream. This is his dream. He's seeing these things in his dream, and so they've got to be pictured. It's like when you study Revelation. What is being described in some of those symbols? They're described in John, the way John understood it. But John did not know a thing. He didn't know a thing about helicopters, which could fire out of the front and the back, had the wings, so it looks like a big what? Looks like a big locust. That's what it looks like. Looks like a big animal of some kind. Looked like a helicopter. No, didn't look like a helicopter. Didn't know what a helicopter was. So he relates it the best thing that he can. That's what he saw. Fire coming out of it. All these things happening. So these are the things we have to remember. Okay, so... And looking at the night vision, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like the Son of Man coming. Okay, and behold, all right, something Daniel was definitely not expecting. And behold, all of a sudden, first of all, he's got this courtroom scene, and he's got the Ancient of Days, and there are all the jury sitting there. And then behold, now the next thing that happens is the Son of Man comes up, one like a Son of Man. Okay, just remember that Daniel knows, he does know about the Messiah, the coming Messiah. He knows about the conquering king who will rule, but he doesn't know his name. He doesn't know his name. Daniel knows about Jesus the Christ, but he doesn't know his name is Jesus. Daniel introduces this messianic title. This is a messianic title, Son of Man. It's a messianic title. Now here we could spend a couple of hours. I'm not going to. This was the most favorite title by Jesus Christ of himself. It is used almost every time by Jesus Christ himself. Of himself. And no one else. So no one else even uses it. But he uses it. Okay. So, in messianic title. We could spend hours on this development. We have studied this in detail in the trials of Christ, in the Gospels, especially before the Sanhedrin, where he talks about the Son of Man. He is coming with clouds of heaven. What in the world does that mean? Clouds of heaven. Okay. In the Gospels, Jesus Christ speaks of the Son of Man sitting with power, referring to God the Father, clouds of heaven is used in some places in Scripture referring to God, to His deity. The Jews know about this. What did they? What led them? Who led them in the wilderness journey during the day? A cloud. That's God. God is leading us. And at night by fire. That's God. God is leading us. So the clouds refer to deity, to the Jewish mind. And Daniel knows all of these things. So it refers to deity. In the wilderness journey, the Jews began to understand that the cloud dealt with the presence of God when they were led by the cloud at that time. So the clouds of heaven refer to the presence of God Himself. There are many passages that teach the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven. Matthew 24:30. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. What are they seeing? They're seeing Jesus Christ as God, the deity, the hypostatic union. This is why people have trouble understanding the Bible. They don't understand the hypostatic union. They don't understand that He's both God and man in one person. So when you come across images like this, you try to limit them. Don't try to limit them. This is the God-man. Matthew 25:31. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. Acts 1:10-11. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while He was going, behold, this is the ascension of Christ, behold, two men in white clothing stood before them. They also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand? This is Jesus Christ getting ready to leave earth. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come just in the same way as you watched Him go into heaven. One like the Son of Man. Revelation 1:13-14. Revelation 1:13. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like the Son of Man, clothed in a robe, reaching to the feet, and girded across His chest with a golden sash. His head and His hair were like white wool, like snow, and His eyes were like a flame of fire. Now people, bear with me. The difficulty people have interpreting the Bible. I told you that the Ancient of Days was God. Is it God the Father? Or is it God the Son? Is it God the... It's God! It's God! If you want to see the Father there, He's there. You want to see the Son there, He's there. It's not just God. The Ancient of Days is the Son or the Father. It's God. Sometimes we have to relax on our wanting to pinpoint everything. Especially when you're dealing with these kind of imageries. Think of it in the way that Daniel had to see these things. Okay. Until the Son of Man comes. And then I said there will be wars and poverties, pestilence, and the absence of peace. Verse 14. And to Him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. When is this going to happen? When's this going to happen? Well, it's like the resurrection. There are various parts of the resurrection. Jesus Christ is the first resurrection. Then the church is the resurrection. Israel's resurrected. So you got different. So when is this going to happen? People, He receives part of it in the millennium, the beginning of the millennium. Then He receives the fullness of it and in going into eternity future. So you can't just say this zeroes specifically on the millennium. Then you're going to run into problems. That's not eternal. You got a problem. Then you think if it's just the eternal kingdom, well, Is that when he first received it? No, he first started receiving it in the millennial kingdom. So your mind has to be able to understand the vastness of history that is in front of us. Christ will come and he will receive part of the kingdom at the millennial beginning of the millennium. And then Satan will be loosed and start a little revolt at the end of the millennium. There's not even a war. God just says, Christ says, I've had enough of you. And that's it. Not even a war. And then the eternity future starts. It's the eternal kingdom continues then. So I hope you're not troubled by these things. The Ancient of Days, the receiving of the kingdom, and when he receives it. Okay, the vision interrupted. Or excuse me, interpreted. The vision interpreted. Verse 15. And as for me, I am tired. Daniel, my spirit was distressed within me, and the visions in my mind kept alarming me. Well, you can imagine. Some people get alarmed or whatever. They dream today. But boy, think of all the things that he has seen. First all these beasts, and then the Ancient of Days, and then the Son of Man, and then the little horn and judgment, on and on and on. How much can I take here in one dream? 16. I approached one of those who were standing by. This is one of the interpreting angels. Angels are directly involved and fully involved in the spiritual warfare, the invisible warfare that we're in. You have to appreciate the place of angels. The whole reason we're here is because of angels. And began asking him the exact meaning of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. These great beasts, which are four in number, are four kings who will rise from the earth. Well, we've studied that now. But the saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever for all ages to come. Beginning in the millennium, going into eternity. Verses 19 through 21. Again emphasize the desire of Daniel to understand the fourth beast. He was so different than the other three. Desiring to correctly understand the Word of God. It's what we should do. I want to understand these things. I can't get enough of the study of the Word of God. I need to be there. Why can't we have four classes a week? Why can't we have five classes a week? Because James can't do that much typing. But why can't we do these things? I need to more. I need to know more. I love Daniel's attitude. We need to learn and understand more and more. I need to know more about Jesus. I need to understand more and more about my own salvation. In these verses, we see again how this fourth beast is different than the first three. The man-made emphasis of this beast, iron and bronze, being made man-made, given the viciousness that exceeded the man-killing animals that preceded. Verse 19, then I desire to know the exact meaning of the fourth vision. See, I love that kind of attitude. Now, just who exactly is the beast? Who exactly is the Antichrist? I appreciate those questions. These are good. Okay, I want to know the exact interpretation. Daniel is most concerned about the fourth beast due to its viciousness and that it is different than the first three. And he knows this means the fourth kingdom will give great trouble to the people of Israel, the Jews, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron, its claws of bronze, these are man-made, and which will devour, crushed, and trample down the remainder with its feet. The fourth beast is different because it will crush and trample down the remainder of the world. Iron or bronze, man-made. Man rules are man-made. Man decides what is going to be and what is not going to be. People, you take the third empire, Greece. Take Greece, for an example. They had laws in Athens. They had different laws in Corinth. They had different laws in Sparta. They had different laws in Macedonia. Why? Various oracles, various deities told them these things. Rome said, no, the source of law is man and is going to be one for the whole kingdom. We're not going to have, you can have your gods, you can have your saviors, you can have your kings, but you cannot have, but our law rules. Our law rules. And it's from Caesar, and you will worship Caesar. This is what made it different. It is vicious. It is different than all the others. Verse 20 introduces the Antichrist, or the dictator of the revived Roman Empire. Verse 20, and the meaning of the ten horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, and before which three of them fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth uttering great boasts. That's a great blasphemies. Doesn't say boast, says great. Great blasphemies, which was larger in appearance than its associates. The fourth beast was different in the single horn, was larger than the other ten horns. Verse 21, I kept looking, and that horn was waging war with the saints. Uh-oh, another thing we have specifically said different about this fourth kingdom. It waged war with the saints and overpowering them. It was different in that it waged war specifically against believers in Jesus Christ, and even more specifically against the Jews. You got to understand this from Daniel's perspective and the historical perspective, what's going to happen in the tribulation. Until, verse 22, the Ancient of Days, God, came and judgment, courtroom, was passed in favor of the saints of the highest one. We've already seen the courtroom scene is set up. The previous verses. So we've seen the courtroom. Now he tells us about something that comes from this courtroom. Came and judgment from the courtroom was passed in favor of the saints. This is through the book of Revelation. Of the highest one. And the time arrived when the saints took possession of the kingdom. Jews took possession of Jerusalem. 23 through 25. The interpreting angel explains about the fourth beast, so we do not need self-appointed prophets giving other interpretations. Here it is. Verse 23. Then he said, interpreting angel to Daniel, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms, and will devour the whole earth. Mark that. The whole earth. And tread it down and crush it. The fourth kingdom will be of the whole earth. Not just the Mediterranean. Not around the Great Sea. But around the whole earth. The whole earth. And as for the ten horns out of this kingdom. Ten nations out of Europe. Ten kings will arise. And another will arise after them. And he will be different from the previous ones and will subdue three kings. Why does it say he'll subdue three? Seven will submit to him immediately. Three fight against him. Things are going to be so chaotic in this time period in history. In fact, just this last week, I don't know if you saw it or not, just this last week, Europe voting on setting up a president of the European rule. They want to set up a president now. And if you just follow daily insignificant news things, these things are coming together. So you have all of these names. But things are going to be so confusing in the first three and a half years of tribulation. It's going to be so confusing against women. Things that are going to happen against women will boggle your mind. We're worried about the rape of one or two women here and one or two women there that are causing trouble in India, causing trouble in Brazil. People, it's going to get so unbelievable. Because at first, he's going to have all these women come to him and bow down and think he's just great. This dictator of the revived Roman Empire, this little horn, and all the women are going to pray. And then he's going to turn against them that quickly. And it's going to be terrible on earth, all over the world, when this little horn takes over. The ten horns, which you saw, are ten kings. Who have not yet received a kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. And since nothing like this has occurred as of yet, just as they were future to Daniel, just as they were future to John in 100 AD, they are future to us in 2013. We are told four things about the Antichrist. Verse 25 is the first. He will speak out against the Most High. He will speak many blasphemies against the Most High. this reminds us of Goliath. I want to take time, but we don't have time. But you can read 1 Samuel 17, 36, 43, 47, and how Goliath comes out, and he just chastises and haunts and plays with the Israel. And our God, a beautiful picture of all these things. We live in a time in history when blasphemy against the true God is worldwide. Man is so convinced that he can make it without God and against God. Not just without God, but against the things that God said. I mean, just picking one, homosexuality, it is almost going to be a law. You have to be a homosexual before it's all over. You're going to have to be involved in some form of homosexuality before this thing is done. They've got to just make these things. We can do it, God. You said we can. We're going to show you we can. We can keep spending money we don't even have, borrow money we don't have, make money we don't. We're going to get away with all these things. And you say we can, God, we can, we will. We're going to show you. And that's the arrogance of the world going on. Please note some things about this little horn, the beast, this Antichrist. This will have, he will have charisma of Hitler, the charm of a Bill Clinton, the diplomacy of Churchill. I mean, don't get the idea he's going to be some horrible person. People are going to just, wow, this man is great. And if you don't have your blinders on, you're looking, you're going to say, be careful, this man is evil. But nobody's going to listen to you. Nobody's going to listen to you. It's going to take real wisdom not to be fooled by this great charmer. But worst of all, he will present himself as the most religious, holy man, like Pope Francis does, doesn't know a thing about the Bible. And I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced a man doesn't know a thing about the Bible. But things that he says, and things, all this, he will sit in the temple of Jerusalem to be worshipped, to be claiming of God. Secondly, he will wear down the saints of the highest one. Wear down. This emphasizes the people of God, the Jews. And because of all he will do against them, we're told in Matthew 24:22 that Jesus Christ will shorten the days of the tribulation to spare his own, to spare the Jews who will just be worn down. They'll be worn down by travel. They'll be worn down by fear. They'll be worn down by hunger. They'll be worn down. All these things against the Jews. You think things were bad in the Holocaust? You don't want to be around during this time period in tribulation. It won't be that long, but it'll be worse than it was at the Holocaust. Thirdly, he will intend to make alterations in times and in laws. What in the world does this mean? What does this mean? Is he going to come out with a new calendar? Go change winter to summer? And this? No. He will break the covenant he made with Israel, and he will set himself up to be worshipped in the place of the true God, changing the ancient laws of Israel. This is what he's going to do. He's going to change the times of the covenant, times of the pleasure of Israel. He's going to change all of these things, all related to Israel. And they, the chosen people of God, remember Daniel knows nothing of the church, about the church age, and all these things are in the perspective of Israel, will be given into his hands to enslave, kill, torture, for a time, times, and half a time. Time, 1 year. Times, 2 years. Half a time, half a year. Or 3.5 years of the second half of the tribulation. The first 3.5, just going to be chaos you can't imagine. Verse 26. I know we're just about through. We're just about through. Verse 26. But the court... Oh, we are. See, you now know about the courtroom. See how good it is to have understood that verse that a lot of people have trouble understanding about the ancient days taking a seat and all that. You understand it all now. But the court will sit for judgment, and his dominion will be taken away. Now this goes back preceding and explaining the verse that dealt with what's going to happen to the little horn. Annihilated and destroyed forever. He will be first to be thrown into the lake of fire. Verse 27. Then the sovereignty, the dominion, and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the highest one. Believers, namely Jews. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions will serve and obey him. all the nations that will be on earth during the millennium and in the eternal state. One of the great questions, if you want to have fun to argue, you have nothing else to argue about. I mean, you've just ran out of things to argue. Argue about who's going to be occupying the earth in eternity. That's a good one to argue. Nobody knows, so you just have fun arguing. And you both win. But these are going to be nations on earth functioning. Yes?
Is the eternal state, is it described as a different place than the millennium?
New Earth.
New Earth,
but it'll be this right here. It'll be right here.
So is it somehow different then?
No, really, not really different. You have the first Earth, the prehistoric world, second Earth, the one we're in, third one will be the future. Okay? Verse 28. At this point, the revelation ended. Whew, man. I think I whole saw, I woke up, needed 3 cups of coffee. Alright? At this point, the revelation ended. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts were greatly alarming me, and my face grew pale, but I kept the matter to myself. All these things greatly troubled Daniel, didn't understand all that much, but he kept them to himself. See, you and I have history by that he didn't have. Psalm 119:11. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against it. This is the place you want to keep his word. I don't really understand a lot of this, Father, but I'm keeping it up here. I'm not doubting it. I'm not denying it. Just put it up here and live accordingly. Your word I've hid in my heart. And this is going to guide me in how I live my life. Got to live a certain way because I'm sanctified. Got to live a certain way because God's in control and all history's headed somewhere. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. That is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. Any questions? Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Now, we open tonight, or this morning, by singing, He Lives. Our closing prayer will be, Because He Lives. Because He Lives. So, open in the Bibles, what was that, 483? 448. 448, Because He Lives. We started off with He Lives, now we're going to sing, Because He Lives. two things I forgot. First of all, next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month, so we'll have communion. So please remember to bring something to eat and get ready for our communion time together. So please bear that in mind for next Sunday. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Oh, one other thing. Please read chapter 8. Please sit down and read it a couple of times. I don't want to spend a great deal of time in chapter 8. Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Because of the Son of Man, we can face tomorrow. Because of the Son of Man, we have no fear of the future. Because of the Son of Man, we know how all things are going to happen. Because you sit on the throne as the Ancient of Days, we have peace in our soul in time. We thank you so much for Daniel chapter 7. Pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the little things we're confused on, don't really clearly understand. Let it become clear and clear as we hide these things in our soul. Pray, Father, that your Spirit will take these things, let them become a reality to us, giving us joy and peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.